And welcome all Arizona to hour number two of Rosie on the House as we top off our coffee and get ready for the outdoor living hour. If you're just joining us, we had, and I say this because it'll probably come up sometime in conversation. We had Wynn Holden with Arizona Highways along with
Robert Steve, editor and
the editor,
publisher.
And then Wynn's the publisher. And I say it's going to come up because we actually have a guest in this hour whose mother was featured on Arizona Highways at some point. It's a beautiful cover photo as well. But we'll get to that. You can podcast that hour at rosieonthehouse.com. And listen carefully.
I have
we will
one
be giving
question
away
for you.
Tickets at the end of the hour, at the end of each hour, to Rosie on the House. But to win the ticket, you must text in and the answer to a question that was answered sometime the previous hour. So either from Jeff Harper of Harper's Nursery or Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau, they will say something at some point, whether it's a fact or a tip or answering a question, that you'll need to know the answer and be the first to text in, and you'll get a four-pack of tickets to a golf game. What's it?
Waste Management Open.
Thank
as
you.
Well, Wynn Holden brought in a bunch of books here. We'll throw a book in and on the package as well. And I have one question for you.
Wait, what, I got to go through and pick out mine first.
Yeah, no.
I actually have all these.
What did you tell the man that called us the first hour from his patio in Prescott?
That he had us on 11:30 a.m. out of KQ&A, our Prescott affiliate. And he's like, but you're not on yet. How do I listen to you? I said, well, see if you can get our Sedona affiliate Chasm 7:80 a.m.
7:90 a.m.
No,
you were right. Chasm 7:80.
I did not hear back, so maybe he got it. But then I said, you know, if not, then you'll just have to go to KTAR and either stream it on the Sonos music system. You can stream. That's actually how we listen at home to radio. If you've got a smartphone app, but I don't think Bob was the kind of fella that had any kind of streaming
capability.
Yeah. Well, he sounded old school.
We did get our winner first hour.
Yes, we did.
And
along with a lot, there was a lot of people that can.
A lot of people listening. A lot of people got the right answer, but somebody said Javelina. They weren't worth listening very well. The answer was Saguaro.
Did you see some of these other answers? Black Lives Matter. That was not the answer.
Somebody's being silly.
There was another one, Grand Canyon. That was not the correct answer. Some people said cactus, but we were looking for a specific type.
Somebody said safari cactus. Jeff, do you know what a safari cactus is?
No, I've seen cactuses while on a safari.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get to our outdoor living hour. Where are we going today? It's a beautiful, beautiful day out there. The mornings are chilly, the afternoons are chilly, and the daytime is perfect.
It's a beautiful day today, but, you know, according to our friends on the Weather Channel, it looks like it could be kind of turning a little western on us, a little bit of rain, some much cooler temperatures, highs in the 50s, lows down around 37 degrees. But it is, for all practical purposes, February. And one of the biggest things that we could do is start our fertilization, start our citrus tree and fruit tree fertilization, our trees and shrubs we should fertilize in February. Rosie mentioned something about pre-emergent herbicide with the rain coming. Awesome time to get down some pre-emergent herbicide. Let the rain wash it all in for you. And also, you know, the next wave of vegetables could start to be planted here pretty soon. I've been people chomping at the bits to get tomatoes and peppers in the ground. Like I said, I caution you a little bit that it's going to be 37 degrees for a low, and these tomatoes and peppers are all coming out of hothouses, so, you know, let's probably wait another week or so before we do any of that planting, unless we're going to, you know, prepare to hot cap them and cover them up.
I've been traveling a lot.
I completely blanked. I was going to ask a vegetable question.
Yeah?
I've been traveling a lot, but have we only had one freeze back in December?
It's been a pretty mild winter. Very mild. And that's what El Nino promised. It was going to be a cooler, wetter.
Baby, wet.
But not a harsh freezing weather. And my house and at the nursery down in Scottsdale, which I consider a pretty cold spot because we're kind of down on that Indian Benoit, we haven't hit freezing temperatures. I mean, it's been hovering right around, you know, 32, 33 wow. degrees. So, but, you know, people that are vegetable garden planting, you know, taking some plants that have been grown in a hothouse and sticking them outside, it won't take much more than 37 degrees to put a whooping on them.
Boy, the weather's perfect. If you'd like to talk to Jeff about any project or planting you've got going on in your backyard or front yard, give us a ring. The number's toll-free at 1-888-767-4348.
Absolutely. And at the end of every year, the Arizona Farm Bureau has their awards. And y'all had some pretty pretty well-deserving families that were recognized this year.
We did, and we gave away a lot. We had about 8 to 10 awards we gave. And, of course, we have our version of the Oscars. We have the Farmer of the Year and the Rancher of the Year. And sometimes we only give one of those away. Well, we gave two, one to a rancher and one to a farmer. And all sorts of neat things are going on. By the way, we don't want too much rain in Yuma right now, speaking of weather, because 90% of our produce is coming out of Yuma, and we'll be doing that through May, or through March, actually.
So what would the rain do? Is it make it harder to harvest?
Yes, harder to get the
moisture.
A harvest crew's in there to harvest, and sometimes if those temperatures dip down, and Jeff can speak to this better than me, it kind of slows the growth down, and they're constantly... a variety of leafy greens they're harvesting. 1,000 to 1,200 semi-trucks a day leave Yuma to distribute all that awesome fresh produce within days to the
Say
rest of the country.
Say that one more time.
Anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 semi-truckloads.
18-wheelers.
18-wheelers.
How many pounds of lettuce is that?
You know, John Bolts or one of our other Yuma farmers could probably tell us, but it's a lot, and it's going all over the country, and it's getting there quick. So it's
90% of the leafy, lettuce
yes,
consumed in America
is coming out of Yuma.
Comes out of La Paz County. Is that
Yuma?
No, that's Yuma County.
Yuma County. And
gosh.
And it will shift back to California once it heats up here in Arizona. But right now, all of that key produce is coming out of Yuma. It's pretty exciting. It's fun to go down there. It smells like a lettuce salad bowl in Yuma, literally. That's why they call it the lettuce bowl of America.
Well, we're going to have to get one of the Yuma farmers on, because I'm a curious mind. I want to know how much one of those weighs and what's the payload in the back of one of those full semis. Is that $20,000 worth of lettuce per truckload? I mean, you could fit a lot of lettuce in a semi. Is that a $10,000?
So I'm texting one of my Yuma farmers right now, and I bet he'll get right back to us, and I can give you some stats.
Julie, speaking of Yuma, when you're down there, you ever go eat at Hunter's?
I have not yet.
Okay, put that on your bucket
list. I will.
Dining at Hunter's in Yuma.
Okay.
Best steak in Yuma County.
Awesome. Then I'm going.
And so what are some of the other awards that were highlighted this year?
We also have this one category. It's called the Heritage Award, and that award represents our farmers and ranchers that have a long commitment, obviously been in agriculture for a long time, but also a long commitment to volunteerism, especially in the Farm Bureau. We gave out 5 of those awards this year from all over the state. And some of our farmers, we even had one farm family. They have, their history dates back to the 1700s, Arizona as a state, obviously, just farming here in the Pima County, Tucson area. It's just an amazing, amazing story.
You know what I always enjoy about the meetings at the Farm Bureau is that history. So many people that come to Arizona or aren't involved very much, they say, well, there's no history here, there's no history here, there's no history here. All you have to do is go to a Farm Bureau meeting.
Oh, man.
You know, get involved with your local county. And there is a lot of history.
There is. And it's rich. And if we didn't have the agriculture, we wouldn't have the infrastructure. In fact, we can actually credit our farmers and ranchers for building out a lot of the infrastructure for our water and the system that we have today that you and I enjoy as residents of the state. So it's a pretty neat history.
Which just happens to put us in the best condition of water consumption and supply in the entire Southwest.
And people don't realize that. Here we are, a desert state, and our infrastructure is a lot more secure than even Georgia. I hear that if they have an intense and scary drought, well, their water supplies, especially in Atlanta, Georgia, last maybe about 7 days. Well, we have some infrastructure in terms of our storage. And again, Jeff could probably speak to this better than me.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, I think we have 4 or 5 years of stored water underground alone, let alone our lakes and reservoirs, which are drove up to Horseshoe the other day just because I wanted to see the water being released out of the dam. It's full. Which I don't know. I can't tell you the last time Horseshoe Lake was full.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
That's the first one we drain.
Yeah.
That's the most convertible lake we've got.
And so that tells me they're anticipating a terrific snow runoff.
Nice.
Yep.
One, good stuff.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we go to the phone lines, or you can text your question or comment to 411-923. We start this hour with Peggy in Tucson talking roses. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning.
Hi, Peggy. How can I help you?
I was wondering, I've got my roses pruned. Should I feed them now?
Yeah, February. We recommend you fertilize your rose bushes every single month of the year, except for December and January. We kind of do our pruning on them at that point in time and pick up the fertilization again in February.
Okay, I'll get it done.
All right, happy gardening.
And what else? February, we're not just fertilizing roses. There's a lot of other citrus comes to mind.
Well, yeah, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we want to fertilize all of our fruit trees right now. Fruit and nut trees should be fertilized this month. Garden preparation. You know, it's getting kind of late for some of the winter crops. You know, your cabbages and cauliflowers and broccolis. Let them kind of come on, but it's probably too late to be planting any of those lettuces and leafy things. You can plant still here for another month or so because we're just harvesting the leaves off of them. But February starts to bring in my favorite time of the year to garden, and that's you know, the vegetables that I like to eat and the fruits that I like to eat, and my tomatoes and peppers and cukes and squashes. So we're getting ready to do that.